time once again to tune in to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. And as we're going through the Matthew study, we're learning some things about the book of Matthew in a dispensational view. And if we understand the book of Matthew, it's written by Matthew, portraying Jesus Christ as the King. And we left off last week in verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham, Matthew chapter 1, verse 17, from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Verse 18 is where we're going to pick up in lesson 6. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now Mary was found with child of the Holy Ghost before Joseph knew her. Be turning to Luke chapter 1. Before he knew her, while they were engaged, if you will. Okay? Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. This knew her. And once again, Matthew and Luke will explain the genealogy of who? Jesus Christ. And we looked at that in the last couple lessons. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 34. Luke chapter 1, verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? So she's never been with a man in a way that would espouse her to have a child. So this is something very, very special that God, the Creator, was going to do. Look at verse 19. Verse 19 of Matthew. Then Joseph, her husband. Wait a minute. It was just said about espousing, right? That means sort of like engagement. Down home, they used the word, betrothed, okay? And you would do that. But it says, and then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Why? Why would you think that Joseph would put this young lady that he was espoused to, and it says as a husband, away? It said, in the sight of the Lord, they were considered already married. See? And even though they were married later, when he finds out that she is pregnant, he thinks it's best not to make a public spectacle out of it, of her. Keep your finger there and go to Deuteronomy chapter 22. There's laws and such that helps govern the nation Israel in all kinds of matters. Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22, starting with verse 23. Deuteronomy is also known as the second giving of the law. Okay, it's a fifth book. You also got a fifth book in the so-called New Testament, the Acts. You know, so you got to think about some things when you think about that. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 23 says, if a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto her to a husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then ye shall bring them both out unto the gate of that city, and ye shall stone them with stones that they die. The damsel, because she cried not, being in the city, and the man, because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife, so thou shalt be put away evil from among you. So you see what that, you see what a damsel is? But what does it say, a woman? Or does it say a virgin? See? Okay? Right? Okay? So the fact is that Joseph, knowing the law, what did it say about Joseph?
He was a just man.
You think about that right there. He was a just man, and he knew what God was doing in the laws, and he should, by the law, put her away. Keep your hand there in Deuteronomy, or we'll be turning to Deuteronomy chapter 24. Deuteronomy chapter 24. In the passage, Joseph could have had Mary stoned. Is that not what we just read? Okay. But instead, he thought to put her away privately. Deuteronomy chapter 24, under that law system, says, verse 1, when a man hath taken a wife and marry her, and it comes to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let her write her a bill of divorcement, and give it in her hand, and send her out of his house. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. Verse 3. And if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement, and giveth it in her hand, and sendeth her out of the house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife. So privately he can say, here's a bill of divorcement. I've seen uncleanness in you, so go. But go back to Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. Chapter 1, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, you know, it was going in his mind, wasn't it? We just read two verses that he could say, okay, I can do this or I can do this. Right? And he's warring with those things in his mind. He says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared upon him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to thee unto Mary to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy what? Ghost. So the Lord comes on Joseph in a dream and explains Mary's conception. Okay? Was of the who? Not of any man, but of the Holy Ghost himself. The reason Joseph and Mary had to be Mary. Now this is why he said, "Go ahead and take her." Okay, you're still in Deuteronomy. You've got your finger there. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 23. Here's one of the reasons why Joseph married Mary. Married because the Lord Jesus Christ would have been denied citizenship in the nation Israel without having a father or a stepfather. Okay? This is why they was married anyway. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 2. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. They can't go in there. They can't go to the holy place. They can't be a part of that congregation. Okay? But so this is why Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit was something that we know is very special, don't we? We know that is. But you know that she's... Now, don't take this wrong. What do they call Mary? The mother of God. Is she the mother of God?
She's the mother of Jesus.
Okay. When you get that she's the mother of God, you know that's borderline blaspheming? Because she's not the mother of God. That means she was before God, his deity. Mm-hmm. Now you better think about this. But she was the mother of Jesus Christ in his humanity. Okay? So she, you can say that, but you beware when people say she's a mother of God, and they put this woman, mother and child figures. You know, that's nothing new. You can trace that back to where? Nimrod days. So you got to watch that stuff, and it's ingrained in many of us are thinking. But you know, she's a mother of God in his not in his deity, but his humanity. His human form. He had to be born of a virgin. Go to Matthew chapter 21. Excuse me, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And be getting Luke chapter 1 and Acts chapter 3. Luke chapter 1 and Acts chapter 3. Luke chapter 1 and Acts chapter 3. And Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. Now we're going through these verses, may seem very quick, but you can also look at them for your own, studies and all. Verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. See a big capital letters? Jesus. For he shall save all people from their sins. It says, his people from their sins. No, the name Jesus is called Joseph names him, basically. You shall call his name Jesus, which means, what we determined a couple weeks ago? Which is Joshua in the Old Testament, but it means Jehovah Savior. That's what Jesus means, okay? And he shall save who? His. You should have that underlined in your Bible, because there's a very, very, very special reason why he came. It's came to save his people. For God so loved the world, okay? And the world was Israel. The world was a law system, okay? That's what he loved. And look, I told you Luke chapter 1. Okay? Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 67. Luke chapter 1, verse 67. Now, you might not just get this out of just any ordinary Bible study or anything like that. So you really need to think about some things, because it's very, very important to know who his people is. Chapter 1, verse 67. As his father Zacchaeus was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spake, verse 70, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which had been since the world began, that we should not, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercies promised to our fathers and remembered his holy covenant, the oath which he sware unto our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. That's who his people is, and that's who he came to do, to serve. Go to Acts chapter 3. Now, there was a lot to be said in that verse alone, because what covenant did he make with Abraham? The Abrahamic covenant had to do with what?
Establishing him a nation.
A nation and what?
Land.
The land. Okay, that's the Abrahamic covenant. Then he said the house of David raised up a horn of salvation in the house of David. What would that, the Davidic covenant is what? Has to do with?
Kingdom.
Speak up.
Kingdom.
A kingdom, right? So that's that part. But who's that have to deal with? All nations? No, the nation Israel. That's why you better study the Word of God rightly divided and have it right. Only God can do this. And when you understand how to rightly divide it and put it to where God put it down, then it makes sense. And it just thrills my inner man. But down home be innards. I said Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Now, we done went over this in the contrast of the Bible. But these are some good words. That was spoken before the world began. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. There it is again. Same thing as Luke, what we just read. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whosoever shall say unto you. Verse 23. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, that's 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, and those that follow after, as many has spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. What days? That he's going to raise up a guy, right? Okay, that you need to repent and all that stuff. And then verse 25, ye are the children of the prophets. Who's ye there?
Israel.
Is he talking to you today?
No.
Don't make that mistake. He's talking to the nation Israel there as a nation. He says, raised children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Now there's a way the Gentiles get in. Israel's going to bless the nations. But that's not happening today. Verse 26, unto you first, God raised up His Son, sent Him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquity. The people, back in verse 21, go to Matthew chapter 21, the people is the nation Israel, the Jewish people. That's who He came for. That's why they had to repent. They looked for signs. Back there in verse 21, and He shall bring forth a son, and He shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. The name Jesus in the Old Testament, who we say it was? Joshua. Okay, Joshua is the person in the Old Testament that resembled Jesus Christ. Christ is the title. We done looked at this. Jesus is His name. Okay? You know, we talked about earlier about how people says you got to believe in Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, sometimes you may look at him and say, which Jesus? Because there's one time every ball team had a Jesus on it. Are you going to believe in them? You think, oh, come on, preacher. You know, just lighten up. No, I'm serious. Jesus was a very popular name. Okay? But the thing is, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8, hold your finger and go there. Look at this. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8, it describes Jesus as Joshua. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8, leave your hand in to Matthew because we're going right back there. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8 says, for if Jesus have given them rest, then would He not afterwards have spoken of another day? That's talking about, if you read the context of that, that's talking about Joshua over in the Old Testament. So Joshua in the Old Testament over there is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ back over here when He's coming here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Or when He's coming over here? He's over here in the second coming. See, that's Joshua's a picture of who Jesus Christ is in the second coming. But here in Matthew chapter 1, turn back there. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, is Jesus is the Redeemer of Israel. He has come to save Israel from their sins. See, you got Jesus, Joshua, in the Old Testament, coming for the second coming over here. But you got Jesus in this passage coming to redeem who?
Israel.
The nation Israel. Because that was the plan of salvation through times past. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, or 22. Matthew chapter 1, verse 22. Now all this was done. You with me? All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with a child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is who?
God.
This is why I love my King James Bible. You know, it will give you a definition. If you don't know a definition of the world, you look around and it will find. It's a self-made dictionary. But who is Emmanuel? Okay. Who is Jesus up there? His name be called Jesus, who should save his son. Jesus is a name. Christ is a thing. But look, verse 21, that it might be fulfilled. You need to remember that phrase. Because it's going to be, the phrase runs throughout the whole book of Matthew. The whole book of Matthew, for this might be fulfilled to alert Israel that her Messiah is coming. This is fulfilled. How many of us today can read the Bible and think, that is fulfilled. That is fulfilled. We can't we? And we believe it. You know why? Because we're Bible believers. You know, we're not Bible packers. You know, we believe our Bibles. That it might be fulfilled, and her Messiah is here fulfilling the Scriptures. Hold your finger there. We're doing a lot of turning. I love to hear those pages. Israel. Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. That this might be fulfilled. Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Now, who requires signs? Well, how do you know that?
The Bible says so.
Okay. You know what the first sign Israel had to know that God was with them? Let me ask you, you know what the first two signs was in the Bible for Israel? The withered hand of Moses.
And the staff.
Yeah. That was the first two signs that God was working through Israel. And when they saw that, they went, God was with us. And from that point on, they required a sign all the way through the Bible. Did He not walk with them? Pillar of smoke and fire and all that stuff? If God did not give them signs, they didn't believe God was with them and they got worried. But it says, verse 14, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Ooh, that's exciting there. Because you know what? There's no man going to give me a sign to tell me what the Lord's going to do. I'm not going to look for a sign for a wisdom of this world that knew not God or glorified God. You know what I mean? I'm not going to look for their wisdom when God says the Lord Himself. There's another verse that talks about Him coming from a cloud. But He says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel. Okay? Emmanuel means God with us. And that verse, back over in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, is the verse that fulfilled the prophesied what you just read.
Isaiah was the first book that mentioned that the Lord Himself shall give a sign.
Well, this is the Lord Himself shall give you a sign talking about the coming of Jesus Christ being born. And that's what you just read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Go back there. 23, the fact that now would you say that was been fulfilled? Well, yeah. It's been fulfilled. So so that's going to roll all the way down the pike in the book of Matthew about some fulfillments. And it should tell Israel, oh my, born a virgin, born in the city of Bethlehem. And we'll look at that in coming weeks, that type of thing. But it was a sign given to the nation Israel for them to know that the Redeemer is here. Go to Matthew chapter 24, Matthew chapter 1, I keep saying that. Chapter 1, verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Now that from that verse when he says he's going to put her away in verse 19 to verse 24, there was a lot must have went on that dream. You ever had dreams and you're like, man, is this thing ever going to end? You know? And some dreams you don't want to end. You ever know that? I wake up, I'm going back to sleep, continue. Intermission. You know, that type of thing. But look, 24, you know, what did we read about Joseph once again? He was a just man. So you know what Joseph's faithfulness did? What the Lord told him to do, and what did he do? He marries Mary as the angel of the Lord bid him to do. That's faithfulness. When the Lord speaks to you through His Word, and He tells you that you trust Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, do you say, I want to do something else, Lord? You stand there and say, Lord, that's right, I'm just going to do what You say. That's faithfulness. And that's what I believe God counts at. You believe God and He counts it as what? Righteousness. That's faithfulness. You know, much is said about Mary, isn't it? We know that. Well, we can say, I maybe want to back that up. You're going to read a few more chapters and a half about Mary. But after that, you don't hear about her much no more. Boy, but people focuses on that. I can't keep saying that because I know religious systems out there is turning their wheels and people's listening and all. But the thing is, much is said about Mary, but it took the faithfulness of Joseph to deal with the situation of that sort. He could have gotten a flesh and said, hey, out of here, woman. You know, you get on that mule and you leave. No, don't take the mule, you leave. You know, that type of thing. You know, but His faithfulness, that's a lot to be said in situations. Because I know what. You know, sometimes when I'm let my flesh take over in situations that I want to make some decisions, it's usually not good. Is it, woman? Verse 25. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name what? Jesus. Joseph knew her not until after the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? That takes all the human aspect out of who God was from the prophesied virgin birth. Okay? But throughout the passage, it is emphasized that no human agency is involved in the conception of Christ. You need to think about that. Okay? Having a baby, if you will, or giving birth or something, that's nothing new or miraculous. But what the conception did is He had no human father. Because if He had a human father, even though He hung on that cross, He was dying for His own sin. He didn't die for my sin. And we looked at the genealogy in the last couple of lessons of the fact that Luke's genealogy traces from Mary's side to Nathan, Solomon, not David, Solomon. If you remember the last couple of weeks, there was a curse involved in the David side of Matthew's genealogy, that if Jesus Christ followed that genealogy from Joseph, and Joseph was the human father of Jesus, he had no right sitting on that throne because of the curse in Jeremiah chapter 23 of that lineage. So what Luke does, he goes, Hela, the son of Hela, which is Mary's dad. Okay, and we talked about that. I've got a son-in-law in here, which actually is my son. Okay, and he can say Joshua, the son of Edward, and be just as legal as anything that we're talking about. And that's what that happened. But also in the passage, it says, getting back to verse 25, it says that the Lord Jesus Christ was Mary's firstborn. Remember back over here, in Moses' days, when he says, go tell Pharaoh to let my firstborn go. See, Israel is born. They was conceived in Abraham. This is where they was first born. And people gets, and this is not the message, but people gets caught up, you must be born again. When was you born the first time? Israel. Right there. This is when they was born the first time. So they had to be born again to get in this nation over here. You're never born again, people. There's three times born again is mentioned in your Bible. two in the book of John and one in the book of Peter. And guess who those books are written to? Israel. It has nothing to do with you and I. You and I are brand new creations. Brand new creature. Brand new organism. Firstborn, that indicates... What does that indicate? I should ask you. I know the answer. Verse 25, and brought forth her firstborn son, what does that indicate? If you read that. If she has other children. She has other children. Mary did not remain a virgin, if you will. Okay? Because Joseph knows her. And go to Mark chapter 6 and get Psalm 69. A lot of people will argue with you up and down the road that, you know, virginity, where she remained a virgin. They call it a certain word. Yeah, perpetual virginity or whatever. You know, they will argue with you. Religion will when they put the mother and child. See, you know what? Well, we'll look at that later on, but it would say only child or begotten child. Or born, you know, which it does. But the thing is, it says firstborn son. Where did I say to go? Mark chapter 6. I love showing... This is what we're going to read. Okay? Mark chapter 6, verse 3. Is not this the carpenter's son of Mary? The brother of James and Joseph, Josie, and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Now, how many brothers and sisters do you count there? That's a house full. That's why I tell people all the time, hey, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he walked this earth, he experienced everything that you and I have done, but without sin. He changed a diaper. I believe that. I believe he helped his mother wash dishes, Josh. You know, you always put the girls in, don't you?
Why didn't they name the sisters?
I don't know. Well, you know why?
That was their society.
Right, exactly. Right. Girl. Well, they rode in the back of the bus, if you will. But see, that's why we looked at the genealogy and we saw those five women in Matthew genealogy. That was very unheard of in the Jewish religion. You know, in the system. But God puts those five women in there for certain reasons of the Gentiles. Psalms chapter 69. Psalms chapter 69. Psalms chapter 69. Now, Psalm 69, if you know the Psalm 69, it's one of the Psalms that refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And people will argue with you that Mary didn't have any more children. But I love to take them that verse, Mark 6, verse 3. It tells you who they are. But check this out. Verse 8. I am become a stranger unto my brethren. Who would that be? Israel, right? And an alien unto my mother's...
To my mother's children. It doesn't say brothers and sisters.
No, but it's children. She had other children. I got one more verse, John chapter 2. Let's see what that says. John chapter 2, verse 17. John chapter 2, verse 17. No, let's don't... Now, don't refer to that one. But in closing of this lesson 6, chapter 1. Okay, we just went through the chapter, taking us 6 lessons just to go to 25 verses. But chapter 1 gave the genealogy, the conception, and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The birth of Israel's king. Okay, chapter 2 will show how the Gentiles... This is something exciting, that the Gentiles was ready to receive him. Of all people, here's a bunch of Gentile kings, and we'll look at that, from all over the world, and we'll look at they came from where? They didn't come from the west, they came from the east, okay? And Israel was not ready to receive her. And then chapter 3, John the Baptist comes beckoning with Israel to repent. So you got the birth of Jesus Christ in chapter 1. Chapter 2, you're going to see Gentile kings, the representatives of the nations that believe the Word of God from Daniel, okay, and other things. Yes? The wise men, okay, but I believe they're kings, okay? Magi, they call them, right? Okay? They was wise men bearing gifts. And you're going to see what those gifts was because the certain ones is prophet, priest, and king. Okay, what those gifts does. Okay? And they give that to them, but they look a star, right? They follow a star. Appears, but you'll find out in the Old Testament, I think Daniel or Ezekiel or someone talks about a king that didn't like Israel, tried to, you know, blaspheme against Israel, and God, every time they try to blaspheme, the king would say something good. He prophesies about this star. So the nations, the Gentile nations, knows some things. Okay, you might find that hard to believe today because a lot of Gentiles, they don't know much of nothing. Father, we do thank you that you've given us this time to study the Word of God, and we thank you for the time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.